Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.
All right, I'm delighted to say we've got Paul Curran and Carlo Dwyer on the line to talk about Kildare and Dublin. Lads, we'll relive the glory days, and they were glory days for both of you in a minute. But I want to start by focusing on the game this weekend, and maybe Carlo, I'll start with you. After the game against Meath, there was a lot of enthusiasm about this Kildare team. Nationally, there was a lot of people saying, "Ooh, they've got a real chance now of putting it up to Dublin," particularly after the way Dublin played against Carlo. And then all of a sudden, fast forward a week later, and Dublin put in one of their signature hammerings in Leinster against Westmeath, and that kind of took a bit of the froth out of the talk that Kildare might put it up to them. What's the atmosphere like in the county in terms of the level of expectation about what might happen this Sunday?
Yeah, I think the Westmeath game, Gerard, brought a huge sense of realism, I suppose, to Kildare. All right, I mean, I was down at the Meath game and coming out of it down in Tullamore, you know, people were really delighted with the performance and saying, yeah, as you said there, a lot of people were thinking that Kildare were going to give Dublin a right good game, you know, and I hope they will, obviously, but I think the game against Westmeath certainly, you know, put a lot of people thinking. And look, I suppose in Kildare, like anything, I suppose Paul said it there this morning as well, you know, they're a young team, you know, they have a lot going for them at the moment, I suppose, but maybe a lot of commentators are saying maybe it's a year or two too early for them, you know, that Dublin are just have that little bit more experience at the moment and are used to the big occasions. And like a lot of Kildare people are going up on Sunday hoping that they'll perform, and I hope they do. And if we do that, I think everyone will be happy with that.
Yeah, I think that's a realistic assessment of what's happening. And I think there is a realism amongst Kildare fans, particularly because of what's happened to the team in Croke Park on big occasions. You know, you just think back to the 2 years, the Dublin game and the Kerry game. The Cork game in between kind of looks like a real aberration now, but obviously Cork's form since hasn't been great either. So there just is a team that is kind of, And I wouldn't say terrified, or there's a definite fear amongst the fans that they won't perform too, and anything better than that will be a bit of a blessing.
Well, it will, but I mean, I think, you know, there's a lot of these young fellas as well, Joe, have beaten Dublin at underage level as well, you know, so I don't think there's any baggage with a lot of those lads, you know, very few of them were around 2 years ago or 4 years ago when they played Dublin, and Dublin gave them hammerings, you know, so there's a lot of new lads in there, you know. There's a lot of those lads who have had success at minor level in under 21. And, you know, that can be very important as well, I suppose, when you're playing against teams, you know. And I think on Sunday, you know, I think the fear I would have, I suppose, from a Kildare point of view, is that a lot of lads won't have experienced 50 or 60,000 people in Croke Park on a big day, like, you know. So, and that can be a very daunting experience for young lads. And I'm just hoping that, you know, a lot of some of the older lads and some of the lads, I suppose, that have, you know, sampled professional sport and so on, they're the kind of guys probably that will have experienced that kind of stuff, and they'll be able to help the other lads along. And if they do, I certainly think Kildare will put in a big performance on Sunday.
Yeah, Paul, I guess Dublin want Kildare to put in a big performance, and they want them to play as well as they can, and they want them to test Dublin, because we are getting to a stage now where Dublin have looked a little bit undercooked at various stages late into the season because they haven't been challenged properly in Leinster.
Yeah, I suppose. Although I know this Dublin set up fairly well, and you know, Sunday for them is just another game. That's the way they genuinely think of it. You know, they started very late this year. Everything was kind of put back a couple of months, and I think it's with a view to being really ready for the August weekend. Now, whatever happens on Sunday, they're going to be playing in the August weekend, so they'll be happy enough that things are on track. You know, the team holiday was in January this year. For the last couple of years, it's everything has been finished in the calendar year, and when they turn the 1st of January, they're already thinking of the new season. So they didn't perform well against Carlow in the first game, but we're always in control. And look, we know sometimes in the provincial ground, Dublin are not used to playing down there, and obviously people would like to see them playing more of their football in the Leinster Championship down in provincial grounds. But they won the game easily enough, and I think what we saw against Westmeath was a real hungry Dublin team again, with their heads fully focused on the task, really wanted to lay down a marker, and I think they'll be of the same mindset going in on Sunday.
Isn't it the case too that last season was the introduction of quite a change, like not a massive change, but quite an iteration of the style of play, particularly in the forwards, that it was a game designed to suck the life out of the better opposition, that they were happy to recycle ball and they were back in their fitness and conditioning against the Mayos and Kerrys of this world. And against Westmeath, again, it felt like we saw that they, with Jack McCaffrey back in the team, that they now have a marriage of the styles of plays. If they need to keep ball and go laterally and suck teams out, they're going to be able to do that. But equally, if they need to puncture holes, they have runners who can do that. And it felt to me like this was, again, a leap forward, that it wasn't just Dublin being the same as they were last year or the previous season.
Yeah, look, I think they're kind of set up and to cope with whatever is thrown at them. And I think a lot of the teams in Leinster have made the mistake over the years that they sit back and they flood the defence. And, you know, with due respect, a lot of them don't have the quality of the Kerrys and the Tyrones and the Donegals out there. But and if you do that against the quality side like Dublin, they, if they get through you early, I mean, it's just going to be one-way traffic, as we saw against Westmeath. But, you know, Sunday, I think, will be a very different game. I like the way Kildare are playing this year. I think they play on the front foot. They have a very good defensive system, don't get me wrong, but they kick the ball more. They've some very good forwards, a good inside line that can win their own ball and kick points. So I think the style of play that they're playing will trouble Dublin. If they get enough ball around the middle of the field, they can certainly do damage up front. But like everything, you know, they're going to have to do something with, or try and do something with, Stephen Cluxton's kickouts as well. I mean, it's incredible how good this fella is, and I think it's only really when he walks away from it all that we'll see just how, you know, influential he's been in his time in the Dublin jersey. So it's going to be interesting. Kildare will play on the front foot. They will attack Dublin. Can they do it for 70 minutes and get enough scores and keep Dublin out at the other end? I'm not so sure. I think, like Carl said, they're still very early in their development. They're a young team. Croke Park can be daunting. Dublin are used to playing there. They're going for 7 in a row. So it's going to be very difficult. The experience Dublin are bringing to this thing is huge, and it looks like they have their mojo back again, and it'd be very difficult to stop. But, you know, I think Kildare can trouble them if they adopt the same tactics as they did against Meath, and, you know, go at it from the beginning.
What do you expect, Carl, from this Keane O'Neill team? Because it's obviously a very changed outfit from last year, just in terms of personnel and the fitness of certain players, the various players he can call on who've come back from their professional sports careers. Like, it's almost, in many ways, they wouldn't, you'd look at those two teams and go, well, that's a totally different group of players if you didn't kind of know that it was the same manager in charge of them. So he's obviously learned a significant amount from last year, and he has the benefit of a full season of fitness behind this team as well.
Yeah, I think so. And I think Ronan Sweeney has been a big addition as well. Ronan, you know, did good work with Waterford and with Sligo, and he's been in there this year as well. And I think he's done a very good job. But I think the one thing I like about the Kildare team at the moment, Jerry, is that there's plenty of pace all over the play, all over the team. You know, there's a lot of, in their back line there, like you've got Ollie Lyons, you've Young Highland, you've Mick O'Grady. Owen Dial plays as a sweeper there. He kind of fills the gap in between the full back line and the half back line. And all those guys have pace. And the one thing, I suppose, as well against Meath, which were really impressed me, was their tackling. And as Meath only got 4 points in the first half, but there was a lot of, you know, there was a huge amount of turnovers by Kildare in the first half, and a lot of those turnovers resulted in scores down at the other end of the field, you know. So, and I think up front as well, Paddy Brophy and Daniel Flynn, they're two big men. You know, they're well able to kick a score, they're well able to win their own ball. And I think those lads have added hugely to the forward division for Kildare as well this year, you know. So, you know, I suppose the middle of the field, Kevin Feely has been playing very well as well, and Tommy Moolick. But, as you know, I suppose, as Paul alluded to there, Stephen Cluxton sometimes bypasses midfield a lot, you know. So it'll be interesting to see what happens around the middle third of the pitch there. But I think Kildare need to push up, you know, at various stages on Cluxton the next day. They can't give him the ball like Westmeath did, and explain, you know, because there'll only be one result really there, you know. So I would expect Keane, you know, now and again, not all the time, I think Kerry did it in the league final. Anytime there was a set play, a free or a 50, whatever, I think Kerry pushed off straight away. But, you know, there are going to be times when Dublin are going to get the ball at the back, and that's fair enough. But I think there will be plenty of times during the match as well where Kildare will put, you know, pressure on them, you know, open clocks and kick outs, and hopefully we can get a bit of joy out of that.
Yeah, I like, frequently there is this debate about what do you do if you're Westmeath. Do you put 15 men behind the ball and keep it 10-8 or 10-6 at half-time? Or do you go for it and actually get riddled in the first 15 minutes and your body's lying there bleeding profusely? With Kildare, it's kind of a little bit different, because with this group of very young players, and I think it's like 11 of the under 21 team from 2013 are around the squad, which is a phenomenal throughput of talent, and it's been obviously well managed and well marshalled, and it's real testament to the manager for putting faith in them, but also to the previous management teams for giving them some access, and to everybody who's done work underage. There is a dream, at least, that they can sell to everybody involved, that over the next two or three seasons we want to be competing with Dublin. So if they go out and they play badly but they're trying something and they get hammered, I kind of have a bit more sympathy with that than just blindly going, sure, look, we'll go and shoot the lights out, it's a chance to nothing. It's like, it is part of a master plan.
It is, but I suppose, you know, Westmeath were kind of in that position the last day. You know, there were 2 years they played defensive against them and they were beaten, and everyone was telling them, you know, have to attack, you have to attack, you know, you have to go against, you know, go at Dublin to have any joy. And you saw what happened there, Joe, you know. So, like, I think, you know, Joe, I mean, Keane O'Neill and Ronan and the Murphy would be very shrewd guys, you know. So, you know, there will be an element of pushing up on Dublin, but I don't think they're going to be gung-ho about it either. You can't afford to do that with this Dublin team. You know, they have so many good footballers, like, especially with the mark as well. You know, I mean, Cluxton can bypass lads around the middle third of the pitch there and do serious damage. So, like, that's going to be probably the one fascinating thing about it. What are Kildare going to do? Because there's an awful lot of theories out there of what they are going to do. But I suppose, like anything, we'll find out around 10 past a quarter past four in the first 15 or 20 minutes on Sunday what the story is. And I'm hoping Kildare, if they're in the game after 20, 25 minutes, I think they have a right good chance, to be honest, Joe. You know, I think Dublin, as Paul said there, if Dublin get a run in you in the first 20 minutes and they're up 5 or 6 points, you're really chasing shadows. But I think if Kildare are there or thereabouts after 20 or 25 minutes the next day, I really believe that they have the youth, they have the pace, they're hungry. You know, we haven't been in the Leinster final since 2009. We haven't won it since 2000, so hunger shouldn't be a factor at all. You know, so I mean, the Kildare are absolutely ravenous for a Leinster title at this stage, so I'm hoping that if they are there, they're both up to half time, that we'll give them a right good go, you know.
All right, let's look back a little bit at some of the pretty famous matches between the two teams. Paul, you started your Dublin career in 1989, is that right?
That's right, yeah.
And kind of the first Mico team is at 1990, is that right?
Yeah, we played Kildare in the league final in 1990. I remember a very, very young Glenn Ryan playing right half back, actually. I think he might have been only 18, possibly 19 in that final. We were kind of lucky enough to get over that one, but that was the start of it. That was Mikko's first year, I think, and we know what happened in the years after that.
So, at what point did you start actually thinking this Kildare team is a serious outfit and we kind of need to take them seriously?
Yeah, pretty straight away, really. You know, as we know, anything that Mikko touched turned to gold. He was coming with a very big reputation, and at that time, there was a huge kind of break or gap between Leinster titles and Kildare. And you know, I kind of get the same kind of feeling with them now that they're hungry for success. But I think it was a long, long time before they won their last one before Mikko took over, and they were certainly building for one. And we had quite a lot of battles with them in the 90s. You know, I remember 94. We were lucky enough to get out of it with a draw and beat them in the replay. And after that, then after 95, we kind of, the tables were turned on us, and Kildare got the better of us for about 5 or 6 years after that, including a famous Leinster final in 2000.
Yeah, we might talk a little bit about some of those games. Carl, that first period when your dad was in Kildare, you were still playing football with Kerry. Were you kind of aware, like, did you fully understand how absolutely mental Kildare had gone for football in that era, or did it take for you to actually arrive to fully understand?
Well, I suppose it took until I arrived, I suppose, during 98. But, I mean, I went to all, I think, Kildare had Dublin in three big games, I think, around that period, 92. I think Keith Barr got a great goal that day. In 93, I think there was Dublin, it was a fairly fractious affair. I think Paul can probably, there was a few shenanigans in the tunnel, Paul, is that correct, in 93?
93 and then 94.
You weren't involved in that, Paul, no?
No, I was tying my laces out the field, actually.
I saw a tweet from Kieran Cunningham today saying James McCarthy's dad was a guard in the tunnel and apparently he had his hat accidentally removed at some point by a participant in the schmozzle. So obviously he was keeping the peace.
That's right. Well, your guards, that's their job, isn't it? You know, they're supposed to keep the peace. And 94, I think, was the year where Kildare should have beaten, really. They were, it was the year of the World Cup, as you remember. And I was actually up at the game and they drew 11 points all in the first game. I think they were 8 points to three up at half time. And, we're really playing great football. And I think Charlie Redmond got a point in injury time to draw. I think that was the day I think, Kildare should have beaten Dublin, really, And I think Dublin went on to win the replay fairly comprehensively after that, So, and it took us, wasn't until 98 then when we came along, and we still found it very hard to beat them in 98. It was a draw the first.
Hello.
Hello, Ger.
Yeah, we seem to just lose Carl there. We might try and get him back. That 94 game, the 11 points apiece, like, is there a proper fear at halftime in the dressing room? Paul, do you remember, or at that stage, because you were a very experienced side who kind of had been really knocking on the door, should have possibly won in All-Ireland a couple of years before that, probably could have, definitely could have, and probably should have won in All-Ireland. So were you thinking, look, this is fine, we're calm and we're rational about it?
I don't think we were fine at all, no. I don't think we were calm either. I think we were certainly on the ropes that day. It was a, from what I can remember, it was a very, very flat first half performance. It was around the World Cup, Italia 94 was in the US, and I think the crowd during the drawn game, I don't think there was a big crowd at it, and we were just. We just got on the front foot in the second half. If I can remember, I think we were playing against the breeze in the first half, and Kildare built a big lead. Eventually, we just caught them at the end, as Carl says, with a Charlie Redmond point in, near injury time. And the replay was a different story. I think we were a lot better. We got come out of the blocks very quickly and managed to win that one. So, but there were a lot of good games, and Leinster was a very different place back then. The competition was huge. I can remember going to Wexford Park in the first round of the championship and been lucky to come out of there with 2 or 3 point win against Wexford. And Leash, they were all good solid teams. That's what we need back in Leinster. And I was down there this morning at a breakfast, and I like what I'm listening to down there. They're doing great work at underage. They're cracking on and quietly doing their job. Their structures are in place. They're producing players. They're producing winning minor teams in the province. As Carl said earlier, that a lot of these players that are playing on Sunday have played and beaten Dublin at underage level. So, that can transfer. And as long as they keep doing that and keep producing players, they're going to be better for it, obviously. And a good performance on Sunday and. Who knows if they can manage to win it would be massive for the county.
And for the province, I would say, but I'm a bit biased. Carl, your dad left in 95, 96, was it? He was still there in 94 and comes back in 97.
That's right.
So 97, they have that three-game saga against Meath, and then 98 is the first round against Dublin in the championship. And I think expectations weren't as high as ultimately they become later on in the summer. But do you remember the build-up to that 98 Dublin game? That's your first season in with the team as well.
It was. That was my first year there. And the league, I think we didn't qualify for the knockout stages on scoring difference that year in the league, So I think there was, expectations were low, I suppose. There's no doubt about that. And the first day, I was a draw, 10 points apiece, and it was a very poor game, The quality wasn't great, but I think the replay, we played a little bit better, and we were 4 or 5 points up with about 2 or 3 minutes to go. I think Declan Darcy got a goal near the end, but we eventually fell over the line, I suppose, And for Kildare, I suppose, as Paul mentioned there, I mean, Dublin had beaten Kildare for many years before that, So it was a huge chip off the shoulder, I suppose, just to win that game. And it definitely gave us great confidence going forward for the rest of the championship.
Was it a straightforward enough decision for you to switch to Kildare?
No, oh God, it wasn't. My own club, I mean, I love playing with my own club down in Kerry. I suppose I was disappointed I didn't get a run with Kerry at the time. I suppose I felt I played good football with UCC in Cork, and I played good football with my club. And I was hoping to get a run, but these things happened. Paddy at the time was bringing a strong team together. Kerry had won the All-Ireland in 97. You know, I suppose I wasn't going to make any big difference to that, you know. So my father asked me, would I be interested to come up to Kildare and play a bit of football? I got a job teaching up here, and as I said, the rest is history after that. So I suppose in hindsight, I was delighted that it worked out the way it did, you know. So I'm marooned up here now, Ger, so there's no going back.
Yeah, I know. And fair play, the Kildare gets its tentacles into you and you can't get rid of them. But pretty much straight away, I think Kildare people were very welcoming of the fact that you were part of the team, but also an important part of the team, and that you were chipping over points in every game.
Well, it was in the championship, but in the league games, it was one or two league games. I know Ger didn't perform very well, to be honest with you. There was one game in Newbridge against Cork. I think I kicked about four or five wides, and it was my first game, actually. I wasn't fit to play that day, but a young fella from Clane, there was a tragedy out in Spain. I think all the Clane players didn't play for obvious reasons, and I was kind of told that I was starting, and I didn't play very well, and there was a few murmurs in the crowd, I suppose, as regards what was going on, you know. So that was tough, the first 6 or 8 weeks. But I think I wasn't in the best of shape at the time, and I think once I got into a bit of shape and, you know, I started getting involved with the lads and stuff like that, you know, I think I just got to know them and so on. And I think the Dublin game was a huge turning point for me. I think if we had lost the Dublin game that year, I think I'd say Mikko was gone and I was gone, probably would have gone back down to Kerry, you know. So that was a life-changing game for me in many ways, because from there on it just kicked off. Whereas if we'd been beaten, you know, it's fair to say I mightn't be up here today, you know. So that's how big the game was at the time for me anyway.
They were the days when we, as journalists, were allowed access to the dressing room. And I remember as well as anything, a very, very young Dermot Early standing in the middle of the room after the drawn game saying, this isn't over. This is not the end of this. Just because the underdog always loses the replays, that's not going to happen to us. And I remember being struck by this is pretty impressive. You know, he was like 18, 19 at that point. And people were kind of stopping doing what they do after a match and looking at them. And I don't know if you've any recollection of that dressing room, but certainly that has lived with me forever.
I can't remember that now. That was, there was so much going on during the dressing room. But I think there was a lot of big characters in that team. You know, you had a lot of guys, you know, that were in their prime, I suppose. You had Glenn and Rainbow, John Finn, William McCreary, Declan Kerrigan. You know, all these guys were in their mid to late 20s. They had suffered a lot, I suppose, over the previous 4 or 5 years. And, you know, I think Mikko had built up, I suppose, a fair bit of fitness in those fellas as well. And, you know, they were really strong characters. And you know, those guys, you know, felt that, you know, if now was the time, I suppose, in 98 was the time where, especially after 97, when I felt if they'd won one of the games against me, that they could have kicked on and probably done even better that year, you know. So I think 98 was the year, I think, that everyone in Kildare really talks about and stuff like that. But I think, you know, for the current generation, you know, they're constantly being reminded of 98 and 2000. And while they were great for the time, I think, you know, we need new lads to step up now. And Sunday, obviously, would be a great day to do it and bring new heroes or new fellas, you know, to Kildare with Leinster medals and who can go on and maybe do better things, you know.
Paul, 2002 is obviously, so in 2000, there's a draw in the replay. Kildare scored 2 quick fire goals in the second half, famously stuffing it to Pat Spillane in the Sunday game studio, who said that Kildare have no forwards and can't score, but they score 2 goals in a minute. But then exactly the same thing happens from a Dublin perspective in 2002, when Dublin are in a bit of trouble in the second half. There's been a mistake in the defence. One of the McGees gives the ball to, I think, Tadhg Fennan, who has a beautiful finish, and that gives Kildare just this sense of daylight. And, you know, we forget about it now, but they're obviously, they've got the love and Uchtar in that relationship at that point. And lo and behold, Alan Brogan comes out of nowhere, dances past 4 defenders on the edge of the box and rolls one in off the upright. And that kickstarts a period of dominance for Dublin, really.
Absolutely, yeah. The 2 games were pretty similar in terms of the team that lost probably felt that they should have won the game. I mean, I remember 2000 like it was yesterday. It was probably my worst defeat in the Dublin jersey, to be honest with you. We played, and we were 5 years without a Leinster title, and we were building a team. And I felt we played some of the best football I'd seen from a Dublin team in that first half, and I think we were 11-5 up at half time. But I remember going in at half time thinking we should be out of sight here. We should be 13-3. I thought we should have been 10 points up, but there was a couple of scores that we gave away late in the half, and we didn't take a couple of scores, easy scores ourselves. 6 points, as we know, is not a massive lead, and we all know what happened straight after the break. It was wiped out within a minute, and it was like getting a punch into the side of the head. We were just running around dazed for the rest of the half, and Kildare were able to control that second half and win comfortably. And 2002 was probably not as crazy, but at the same time, Kildare got themselves into a winning position. And you know, with the experience that they'd gained over the previous years, you would have felt that they would have been able to close it out. And don't forget, Dublin still hadn't won a Leinster title. There were 7 years without one. And I think quick goals from Alan Brogan and Ray Cosgrove, who was having a great year that year, got us over the line. So you know, that's how easy games can change. But there were great battles, and you know, I'm hoping that this thing will happen again. Leinster finals with Dublin and Kildare are fantastic occasions. There'll be a massive crowd up there on Sunday, and it'll be something special. There's no doubt about that. There's a lovely buzz around Kildare, kind of a quiet confidence at the moment. You know, they're comfortable with what they're doing. They know they have good players. They're happy with the game plan, and they just have to go and perform. Simple as that, and not be afraid. And if they do that, they have a chance. So, you know, I think we're all looking forward to this occasion.
Yeah, definitely hope it's competitive. Paul Curran, Carlo Dwyer, great stuff, lads. Thanks a million for joining us.
No problem. Thanks, Jack.
Thanks, Tim.
Off the Ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.